Welcome. We are very glad that you've taken some time this evening on the night before Christmas to be here to celebrate the birth of our Savior. This is a joyous time. What a wonderful celebration this is, that the God of the universe chose to come and live among us, beginning as a baby in a manger, and then grew up to be the one who would show God's love to us and die for our salvation and rise again for resurrection and our entrance into heaven. So we're glad you're here to worship this evening. I want to remind you that if you donated to the poinsettias and would like to take those home, we would be glad for you to take those at the end of the worship service this evening. But let's stand and sing together our opening hymn. While shepherds watched their flocks at night.
Please join me in the responsive reading. We proclaim the light of hope.
Hope and promise of God. Hope and power of the Holy Spirit. Hope in the person of Jesus Christ. Hope for all of us.
We proclaim the light of peace. We proclaim the light of joy.
Joy in the wonders of our Creator. Joy in the fullness of the Spirit. Joy in the abounding love of Jesus Christ. Love that fills our souls and enriches our hearts.
This evening, we rejoice in the light of Christ as we celebrate his miraculous birth.
Thank you.
You may be seated. And we will be singing Angels We Have Heard on High as we present our tithes and offerings.
Lord God, we thank you for the gifts we have been able to give this evening, and we pray that you use these gifts to your glory. We thank you also. This is such a busy, hectic time, and yet it is a time so full of joy that you so loved the world that you gave yourself to come and to live among us. Thank you that we can give back to you, not just these monetary gifts, but the gifts of our time this evening, the gifts of our songs lifted up to you, the gift of our praise, the gift of love, that we can love others as you have loved us. And we pray that you'd help us to give that gift to the world this year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first scripture reading this evening is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 71 in the New Testament in your pew Bible. The birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. And tonight we're looking at the story from Luke's account. Beth read the first part of that, the birth, and now we're going to read about the shepherds coming to celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through verse 20. And this is what Luke records. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Please join your hearts with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, it is such a joy to me to be able to have the privilege of sharing this evening the story of your birth, your love, the joy that came to earth that night in Bethlehem. And I pray that you will take my efforts at conveying this, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will touch our hearts with a joy that lives with Christmas. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas traditions can be wonderful, but some Christmas traditions strike us as bizarre, and some Christmas traditions seem, at least to me, to be rather disgusting. In Yugoslavia, on the second Sunday before Christmas, children sneak up on their mother when she is least expecting it, and they tie her feet to a chair. And then they shout out, "Mother's Day, Mother's Day, what will you pay to get away?" And then she gives them gifts. The next Sunday, the Sunday just before Christmas, they do the same thing to their father, resulting in more presents. In parts of Austria, Bavaria, and Switzerland, during the month of December, young people dress up as the Krampus, a hairy demon, and they roam the streets, frightening children and sometimes frightening adults as well. Even today, 40% of the population of Sweden gathers around a television set at 3 p.m. on Christmas Day to watch a replaying of the 1958 television special, Donald Duck and His Friends Wish You a Merry Christmas. That's a tradition that began in the 1960s when television was new to Sweden, and there were only two television stations, and one of them played Disney cartoons on Christmas Day. In Caracas, the capital city of Venezuela, it is customary for the streets to be blocked off on Christmas Eve to make room for worshipers to rollerblade to church. In Ukraine, Christmas trees are commonly decorated with gaudy spider webs. This is based on a folktale about a poor young mother who did not have the funds to decorate her Christmas tree, and a family of spiders decided they would decorate the tree for her with their spider webs. And now we get to the a little bit more disgusting ones. In South Africa, children feast on fried caterpillars on Christmas Day. The pine tree emperor moth, otherwise known in its caterpillar stage as the Christmas caterpillar, is naturally covered in festive hues, and swallowing them is thought to bring a person good luck in the coming year. And the last one, the tradition in Greenland is to dig up decomposing elk flesh that has been wrapped in sealskin and buried under a stone months earlier, and to eat that for the Christmas meal. It's reported that it smells like old blue cheese and tastes quite pungent. I tell you this because on the night of Jesus' birth, a common Palestinian tradition was nearly missed. In Palestine, during the time of Jesus, when a baby was due to be born, it was traditional for family and for friends and neighbors within the town and for local musicians to gather outside the home. And as soon as that child was born, they would break forth into songs. It would be a song fest to celebrate the arrival of that new baby. And they would greet the parents with many congratulations to them on the birth of their new child. But when the time came for Jesus to be born, Mary and Joseph were far away from their home in Nazareth. There was no family there to gather around them. No friends waited outside the house. No local musicians showed up to join in celebrating the birth of this child. The traditional Palestinian song fest was nearly missed at the birth of Jesus, but not quite. Luke tells us what happened. Let's look at those verses again. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. Today, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." Though their family and friends were far away, and though no local musicians gathered to welcome the birth of this child, God sent his own singers to celebrate the birth of Jesus. By divine intervention, the tradition of singing at the birth of a child was preserved, but with at least three important differences. Number one, it was not just the hometown singers who celebrated the birth of Jesus, but heavenly musicians who lit up the sky and sang at his birth. The significance of Jesus' birth extended beyond the town limits of Bethlehem. It extended beyond the town limits of Nazareth. It extended beyond the limits of Palestine. It extended beyond the limits even of the Middle East. Local musicians would have been sufficient for welcoming into this world a baby who was born to be a hometown kid. Nazareth singers would have been sufficient if that child was born to grow up in Nazareth and make his career in Nazareth and raise his family in Nazareth. But Jesus was born not to be a hometown kid. As John 3:16 tells us, Jesus was born because God so loved the entire world. Since Jesus came for the whole world, a band of local musicians was not enough. A proper celebration of his birth would require a choir composed of peoples from all nationalities all around the world. Or it would require a multitude of angels representing all of heaven and all of earth. No wonder the Christmas carol proclaims, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." Number two, congratulations are extended here not simply to Mary and Joseph, but they are extended here to all people. Typically, musicians gathered around the home where the child was to be born. And when that baby was born, they break forth into song and they would congratulate the new mom and dad. But this heavenly troupe of singers showed up not at the home where Mary and Joseph were. They showed up on the fields outside the town of Bethlehem. And they congratulated a bunch of shepherds. And through them, they congratulated the entire world. Listen to their announcement. "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you great news, good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." And then when the multitude of angels come, they sing out, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." A Wycliffe Bible translator reports about this verse. "Al, the national translator, and I were struggling to translate the Christmas story. As usual, some concepts like peace were almost unknown in the local language. We finally struck on the following to describe the angel's visit to the shepherds in Luke 2:14. Quote, "God in heaven is just so good. So the people who live in this world, if God's heart is happy with them, then their fear is all gone now." Al's eyes shone as I read this aloud. "That's so true," she exclaimed. "I grew up in the church and knew all the stuff. But when I was a young woman, I saw two paths to follow. One was God's path, and one was my own path. When I followed my own path, I was afraid of everything. When I decided to turn away from doing wrong on purpose and follow God's path, my fear was gone." Then the translator adds, "I have never before seen freedom from fear in the Christmas story, but it was an insight which still encourages me." The good news the angels proclaimed is for people of all cultures, all around the world. No wonder the angel congratulated not just Mary and Joseph, but the shepherds as well, with the announcement, "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." And number three, the problems of this world do not restrain heaven's rejoicing. Jesus arrived in Bethlehem at a tumultuous time. The Roman Empire oppressed the people of Palestine. In fact, Jesus was born in Bethlehem because Mary and Joseph were driven there by the Romans for a census and to pay Roman taxes. King Herod held violent sway over the nation. Shortly after Jesus' birth, he sent soldiers to destroy all the infants in Bethlehem. Times were tough. Yet at the birth of Jesus, the angels rejoiced. Despite the mess of this world, God was on the move. So joy erupted from the hearts and the mouths of the angels. Something similar happened a number of years ago in Wisconsin. Greg Asmakopoulos writes, "On a balmy October afternoon in 1982, Badger Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin was packed. More than 60,000 diehard University of Wisconsin supporters were watching their football team take on the Michigan State Spartans. It soon became obvious that MSU had the better team. What seemed odd, however, as the score became more and more lopsided, were the bursts of applause and shouts of joy from the Wisconsin fans. How could they cheer when their team was losing? It turns out that 70 miles away, the Milwaukee Brewers were beating the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 3 of the 1982 World Series. Many of the fans in the stands were listening to portable radios and responding to something other than their immediate circumstances. That's how it was when the angels rejoiced. They were tuned into something greater than the national turmoil in Palestine. Christmas is the assurance to us forever that despite the mess of this world, we have reason to rejoice, for God is here. God steps into our tumultuous world, and he steps into our troubled lives. No wonder we sing, "Joy to the world. The Lord is come." Please pray with me. Lord, thanks for the traditions of Christmas. And I thank you for folks who are here, some here because of tradition of being at your home on Christmas Eve to worship you. And they're going to be going here from here to other traditions, quite likely, at their home or the homes of loved ones. But Lord, we're focused on something else tonight. We're focused on the fact that you so loved the world that you came to live with us, to live among us. And no matter what goes on in our lives, we have reason for joy because you are here, because you love us. And no matter what else goes on, we are always in your care. I pray, Lord, that this would be especially the message of Christmas that we hold on to this year. Fill us with joy. Fill us with hope. Fill us with peace, because you fill us with your love and your presence. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand and we'll sing together Silent Night. As our benediction, let me remind you again of the words of the angel and then the multitude of angels. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be assigned to you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Merry Christmas to you. God bless you.